Community Church. In the spirit of that welcome, will you please turn and bow in silence to your neighbor or someone nearby. Please feel free to continue that conversation following the service. Unity Church is committed to welcoming everyone, especially those who have been excluded due to race or gender identity or sexual orientation. Your gifts and your wounds are welcome here. I want to extend a special welcome to anyone who is visiting or is here for the first time. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you to find and to keep your balance, a place which helps you to lead a loving life of integrity, service, and joy. If you'd like to learn more about Unity Church and our faith tradition, please stop by the welcome table in the parish hall following the service. Welcome team members staff the table and are ready to greet you and answer your questions about the church and its programs. I want to draw your attention to this week at Unity, the insert in your order of service, which is intended to serve as an invitation and a roadmap to deeper involvement in the life of the congregation. The fourth annual Unity Church pilgrimage to New Orleans will take place not next week, but from February 20th through the 27th. So all the hoopla will be over, and we'll know whether the Vikings or the Saints, whether the top of the river or the bottom of the river, will have won the Super Bowl. Join other church members and friends on this spiritual journey to help with rebuilding and healing after the devastation caused by Hurricane Katrina. Our pilgrims will build homes, tour neighborhoods, and experience the unique culture and food of this great American city. All ages and skill levels are welcome. Not exactly all ages. Young children, we love them, but they're not great on construction crews. So all ages capable of being part of a construction crew are welcome. What? Sorry. If you're interested in participating, please contact Pat Half, who is the coordinator of Community Outreach Ministries here at Unity Church. Covenant group sign-ups begin today. Covenant groups are a fantastic opportunity to deepen yourself and grow your soul. Covenant groups are opportunities to practice radical hospitality, spend time with a small group of people, and learn to connect in surprisingly new and deep ways. Bring your thoughts, your hopes, and your questions to the welcome table in the parish hall after the service to learn more. This is one way to master the art of small group intimacy. We say one of our core expectations for membership is that our people will be able to go deep quickly with strangers. It's important. It's a spiritual practice. The covenant groups are a wonderful opportunity to deepen your spiritual life. On January 20th, Unity Church will welcome well-known Twin Cities educator and author Mary Sheedy Kuchinka to Wellspring Wednesday. Her topic will be Parents and Adolescents Building Strong Relationships. Sheedy Kuchinka is a popular speaker and consultant with a national following. She'll be discussing the commercial media messages that bombard families and ways to build stronger parent-child bonds. The event is free, but donations will be accepted to defray the speaker's expenses. Teens are especially encouraged to attend with their parents. Come for dinner at 6 p.m. this coming Wednesday. No advanced reservations are required. The food is always wonderful, and the program begins at 7 p.m. Following the service this afternoon, everyone is invited into the parish hall for a soup and bread supper. It's an opportunity to share a meal and deepen connections with one another. Next Sunday, our dear friend and colleague, the Reverend Don Southworth, acting executive director of the Unitarian Universalist Ministers Association, and Hallman intern Lisa Gundlach, will continue the series on courage with a service entitled The Courage to Let Go, Surrender. Service times are at 9, 11, and 4:30. Jan and I will be in the Bay Area, helping to rededicate the sanctuary of the church we served there for many years in Oakland. More than 20 years ago, they began a restoration process of the National Landmark Church, and we got two-thirds of it done. 10 years later, they finished the sanctuary, and we have the honor to participate in the rededication of that grand building, and you'll be there with us. Following the service today, Alan, Lissa, and I would be glad to greet you by the Portland Avenue doors. And once again, welcome to Unity Church. It's a joy to be here together.
This church is a white church. It has a white culture. It is also my church. I discovered Emerson and Thoreau when I was in high school. Transcendentalism captured my heart and propelled me onto a spiritual journey where I sought out Unitarian churches. I sought out this church. 1975. I've been here 30 years. My connections and commitment to this church is far beyond the fact that it is a white church. It is a white church, but it is my church. Come, let us worship together. Thank you. Please join me now in reading 434. Would you please join me now and read in unison 434. May we be reminded here of our highest aspirations and be inspired to bring our gifts of love and service to the altar of humanity. May we know once again that we are not isolated beings, but connected in mystery and miracle to the universe, to this community, and to each other.
Each time we gather for worship, we set aside a moment to expand the caring ministry of this congregation. Together we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that is at the center of this sacred community. Our hearts are always with those whose primary spiritual practice is caring for young children, with those who live with grief or chronic pain, with illnesses, seen or unseen, with mental illness or addiction. We pray for our neighbors in prison, for those who care for family members in ill health, and those who knowingly and with curiosity and courage face their final days. We pray as well for those who struggle to keep going in the midst of economic turmoil. May our leaders find the wisdom and abiding courage to institute positive change. And will you pray with me for all these we now name? We hold Bonnie Ryland and the other members of her family as they grieve the loss of Bonnie's brother, Will Barcht, who died unexpectedly this past weekend. Our hearts are with Marion Watson, whose beloved sister-in-law, Ruth English, died yesterday. We hold Diane Ross in our healing thoughts as she is recovering slowly from recent open-heart surgery. And Brad Bruber is in the hospital this weekend waiting to find out whether back surgery will be necessary. Our hearts are with Sarah Barbara Brown, who is resting at HCMC after a week of difficult challenges to her health. Billy Bergstedt, who grew up here at Unity Church and has lived with MS for many years, is now in hospice care. We hold Deborah DeNoyles' stepmother, Sharon Dewey, in our healing thoughts Sharon is undergoing surgery this week to address newly diagnosed breast cancer. And hearty congratulations to Lori Wedeking, who's just been awarded a teaching Fulbright and will be studying and teaching at the University of Pest in Hungary this coming semester. Finally, may we stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors all around the world who suffer in the midst of habitual violence and live with poverty. We especially hold the people of Haiti as they struggle to recover from a devastating earthquake and centuries of deep, deep poverty. May they and we be instruments of a lasting peace and of continuing progress. I now invite you to speak aloud or to hold in the silent sanctuary of your hearts the names of those you would like to remember this afternoon. And let us pray. Holy One, source of radiance and reason, Thou whose love endows and animates our lives, we acknowledge Thy presence within and among and beyond us this day. Lend us courage that we might encourage one another in the path which leads from here to a glorious land we've glimpsed but never really known. Teach us, we pray, to respect one another, that we might dwell in the land of mutual respect. Teach us, beloved, to be beloved, that we might in truth become the beloved community which we can see, but the way to which we do not know. Strengthen us in our resolve to continue in the work of love. Thy love, which is our birthright and our obligation. May it be so, and amen.
now like to invite all the children to quietly come up and join me on the carpet in front of the chancel. Church, we are honoring the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King. And part of Dr. Martin Luther King's legacy is that he planted seeds of hope. And he talked about believing in and working hard to make changes in our world. Yeah. And maybe you'll learn more about Martin Luther King later on. But I really want to tell you all a story, if I could, because I think that if Martin Luther King were here today, I think he would want us to tell stories of hope and strength about the people of Haiti, who are now suffering and in need after they are trying to recover from a really devastating earthquake that you might have heard about. So, I want to tell you a story today called Circles of Hope. And there are two words that I want you to remember in the Creole language. And the first, and that's the language that they speak in Haiti. And the first one I want you to remember is the word timoun. Can you say timoun? Timoun. And timoun means children. And the second word I want you to remember is the word tikado. Tikado. And tikado means special gift. So as I'm reading the story, keep those two words in mind, okay? All right. Let our story begin. Everyone brought a gift for the baby Lucia. Facile sat high up in a mango tree and watched. It was the only tree on the dusty mountaintop. Papa had planted it for him when he was born. A strong tree protects its timoun, which means children, Papa said. Now Papa worked far away in the city. Facile had no gift for his baby sister, no tikado, which means special gift at all. But he ate a sweet, juicy mango, and he licked his sticky fingers, and he thought, Papa is not here to plant a tree for Lucia. He studied the pit of the mango tree, and he knew just what his gift would be. What do you think it's going to be? A mango tree? Maybe, yeah. Carefully, he held the mango pit and climbed down from the tree. With a rusted tin, he dug into the dry earth. He placed the seed in the hole and covered it with dirt until only the tip was showing. Facile walked in the hot sun down to the stream and got a bucket of water. He hauled the bucket of water back to the seed and watered it. After many days, the seed began to sprout. But when Facile came back upon the mountain, he only found an empty hole and the neighbor's goat. Look what you've done, Facile said. He shook his fist. Once again, he did not have a gift for his baby sister. How can I plant a tree that will grow strong? He asked his cousin. You must make a fence of cactus. And so Facile planted another seed, and this time he protected it with cactus. Dark clouds piled up on the mountains, and early rain came crashing down over the dusty mountaintop. Facile danced in the puddles. Lucia laughed, but when he went to check on his sister's tree, he could not believe his eyes. It was gone. There was only the cactus and the seed. Fasil asked his mama, how can I plant a tree that will grow strong? But mama was worried about baby Lucia. She was hot and hungry and didn't have time for his games. But she did say, plant a step for your tree. Fasil dug a flat step in the mountainside so the rain could not steal his seed. And again, Lucia's tree began to sprout. Fasil waited, but Mama and Lucia did not return. Then one day, the men in the village made scrub fires to clear the land for planting. The next day, Fasil saw ashes as he walked through the yard, and when he got to the step, he cried, oh no! Lucia's tiny tree had turned into a black, twisted stick. Fasil helped his uncle Tonton to clear the white stones away in their garden. He watched the path for Mama and Lucia, but they did not come. I cannot plant a tree that will grow strong. What should I do? Hope, Uncle Tonton said. You need hope to grow a tree. And so, Fasil had an idea. One after another, he piled up the stones from the garden, and when he was done, the wall was above his waist. He began to have hope. He climbed inside the wall and scraped a hole in the hard earth. One more time, he planted a seed for Lucia, and it began to sprout. One day, after many months, Fasil saw Mama come up the mountain. Lucia came too, and Papa. Fasil ran to meet them. What's this? Papa asked. It is a ticado, Fasil explained. What's a ticado? A special gift. A special gift for Lucia. A gift of hope, Uncle Tonton said. And Papa said, a strong tree will protect Timun, which means children. Inside its circle, Lucia's tree grew strong. It clung to the mountainside where the soil could not wash it away. It grew too big for the goats to eat, and it escaped the fires, clearing the land. Lucia grew strong too. She and Fasil played in the mango tree and ate the sweet, juicy mangoes. And slowly, one at a time, little circles of hope sprouted on the mountaintops of Haiti, and in each one was a tree. And so, my Timun, I want to thank you for your excellent listening, and I want to remind you that every ticado, which...
Community Church. In the spirit of that welcome, will you please turn and bow in silence to your neighbor or someone nearby? Please feel free to continue that conversation following the service. Unity Church is committed to welcoming everyone, especially those who have been excluded due to race or gender identity or sexual orientation. Your gifts and your wounds are welcome here. I want to extend a special welcome to anyone who is visiting or is here for the first time. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you to find and to keep your balance, a place which helps you to lead a loving life of integrity, service, and joy. If you'd like to learn more about Unity Church and our faith tradition, please stop by the welcome table in the parish hall following the service. Welcome team members staff the table and are ready to greet you and answer your questions about the church and its programs. I want to draw your attention to this week at Unity, the insert in your order of service, which is intended to serve as an invitation and a roadmap to deeper involvement in the life of the congregation. The fourth annual Unity Church pilgrimage to New Orleans will take place not next week, but from February 20th through the 27th. So all the hoopla will be over, and we'll know whether the Vikings or the Saints, whether the top of the river or the bottom of the river, will have won the Super Bowl. Join other church members and friends on this spiritual journey to help with rebuilding and healing after the devastation caused by Hurricane Katrina. Our pilgrims will build homes, tour neighborhoods, and experience the unique culture and food of this great American city. All ages and skill levels are welcome. Not exactly all ages. Young children, we love them, but they're not great on construction crews. So all ages capable of being part of a construction crew are welcome. What? Sorry. If you're interested in participating, please contact Pat Half, who is the coordinator of Community Outreach Ministries here at Unity Church. Covenant group sign-ups begin today. Covenant groups are a fantastic opportunity to deepen yourself and grow your soul. Covenant groups are opportunities to practice radical hospitality, spend time with a small group of people, and learn to connect in surprisingly new and deep ways. Bring your thoughts, your hopes, and your questions to the welcome table in the parish hall after the service to learn more. This is one way to master the art of small group intimacy. We say one of our core expectations for membership is that our people will be able to go deep quickly with strangers. It's important. It's a spiritual practice. The covenant groups are a wonderful opportunity to deepen your spiritual life. On January 20th, Unity Church will welcome well-known Twin Cities educator and author Mary Sheedy Kuchinka to Wellspring Wednesday. Her topic will be Parents and Adolescents Building Strong Relationships. Sheedy Kuchinka is a popular speaker and consultant with a national following. She'll be discussing the commercial media messages that bombard families and ways to build stronger parent-child bonds. The event is free, but donations will be accepted to defray the speaker's expenses. Teens are especially encouraged to attend with their parents. Come for dinner at 6 p.m. this coming Wednesday. No advanced reservations are required. The food is always wonderful, and the program begins at 7 p.m. Following the service this afternoon, everyone is invited into the parish hall for a soup and bread supper. It's an opportunity to share a meal and deepen connections with one another. Next Sunday, our dear friend and colleague, the Reverend Don Southworth, acting executive director of the Unitarian Universalist Ministers Association, and Hallman intern Lisa Gudlach, will continue the series on courage with a service entitled The Courage to Let Go, Surrender. Service times are at 9, 11, and 4:30. Jan and I will be in the Bay Area helping to rededicate the sanctuary of the church we served there for many years in Oakland. More than 20 years ago, they began a restoration process of the National Landmark Church, and we got two-thirds of it done. 10 years later, they finished the sanctuary, and we have the honor to participate in the rededication of that grand building, and you'll be there with us. Following the service today, Alan, Lissa, and I would be glad to greet you by the Portland Avenue doors. And once again, welcome to Unity Church. It's a joy to be here together.
This church is a white church. It has a white culture. It is also my church. I discovered Emerson and Thoreau when I was in high school. Transcendentalism captured my heart and propelled me onto a spiritual journey where I sought out Unitarian churches. I sought out this church. 1975. I've been here 30 years. My connections and commitment to this church is far beyond the fact that it is a white church. It is a white church, but it is my church. Come, let us worship together. Thank you. Please join me now in reading 434. Would you please join me now and read in unison 434. May we be reminded here
of our past aspirations and be inspired to bring our gifts of love and service to the altar of humanity. May we know once again that we are not isolated beings, but connected in mystery and miracle to the universe, to this community, and to each other.
Each time we gather for worship, we set aside a moment to expand the caring ministry of this congregation. Together we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that is at the center of this sacred community. Our hearts are always with those whose primary spiritual practice is caring for young children, with those who live with grief or chronic pain, with illnesses, seen or unseen, with mental illness or addiction. We pray for our neighbors in prison, for those who care for family members in ill health, and those who knowingly and with curiosity and courage face their final days. We pray as well for those who struggle to keep going in the midst of economic turmoil. May our leaders find the wisdom and abiding courage to institute positive change. And will you pray with me for all these we now name? We hold Bonnie Ryland and the other members of her family as they grieve the loss of Bonnie's brother, Will Barcht, who died unexpectedly this past weekend. Our hearts are with Marion Watson, whose beloved sister-in-law, Ruth English, died yesterday. We hold Diane Ross in our healing thoughts as she is recovering slowly from recent open-heart surgery. And Brad Bruber is in the hospital this weekend waiting to find out whether back surgery will be necessary. Our hearts are with Sarah Barbara Brown, who's resting at HCMC after a week of difficult challenges to her health. Billy Bergstedt, who grew up here at Unity Church and has lived with MS for many years, is now in hospice care. We hold Deborah DeNoyles' stepmother, Sharon Dewey, in our healing thoughts, Sharon is undergoing surgery this week to address newly diagnosed breast cancer. And hearty congratulations to Lori Wedeking, who's just been awarded a teaching Fulbright and will be studying and teaching at the University of Pest in Hungary this coming semester. Finally, may we stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors all around the world who suffer in the midst of habitual violence and live with poverty. We especially hold the people of Haiti as they struggle to recover from a devastating earthquake and centuries of deep, deep poverty. May they and we be instruments of a lasting peace and of continuing progress. I now invite you to speak aloud or to hold in the silent sanctuary of your hearts the names of those you would like to remember this afternoon. And let us pray. Holy One, source of radiance and reason, Thou whose love endows and animates our lives, we acknowledge Thy presence within and among and beyond us this day. Lend us courage that we might encourage one another in the path which leads from here to a glorious land we've glimpsed but never really known. Teach us, we pray, to respect one another, that we might dwell in the land of mutual respect. Teach us, beloved, to be beloved, that we might in truth become the beloved community which we can see, but the way to which we do not know. Strengthen us in our resolve to continue in the work of love. Thy love, which is our birthright and our obligation. May it be so, and amen.
now like to invite all the children to quietly come up and join me on the carpet in front of the chancel. Church, we are honoring the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King. And part of Dr. Martin Luther King's legacy is that he planted seeds of hope. And he talked about believing in and working hard to make changes in our world. Yeah. And maybe you'll learn more about Martin Luther King later on. But I really want to tell you all a story, if I could, because I think that if Martin Luther King were here today, I think he would want us to tell stories of hope and strength about the people of Haiti, who are now suffering and in need after they're trying to recover from a really devastating earthquake that you might have heard about. So, I want to tell you a story today called Circles of Hope. And there are two words that I want you to remember in the Creole language. And the first, and that's the language that they speak in Haiti. And the first one I want you to remember is the word timoun. Can you say timoun? Timoun. And timoun means children. And the second word I want you to remember is the word tikado. Tikado. And tikado means special gift. So as I'm reading the story, keep those two words in mind, okay? All right. Let our story begin. Everyone brought a gift for the baby Lucia. Facile sat high up in a mango tree and watched. It was the only tree on the dusty mountaintop. Papa had planted it for him when he was born. A strong tree protects its timoun, which means children, Papa said. Now Papa worked far away in the city. Facile had no gift for his baby sister, no tikado, which means special gift at all. But he ate a sweet, juicy mango, and he licked his sticky fingers, and he thought, Papa is not here to plant a tree for Lucia. He studied the pit of the mango tree, and he knew just what his gift would be. What do you think it's going to be? A mango tree? Maybe, yeah. Carefully, he held the mango pit and climbed down from the tree. With a rusted tin, he dug into the dry earth. He placed the seed in the hole and covered it with dirt until only the tip was showing. Facile walked in the hot sun down to the stream and got a bucket of water. He hauled the bucket of water back to the seed and watered it. After many days, the seed began to sprout. But when Facile came back upon the mountain, he only found an empty hole and the neighbor's goat. Look what you've done, Facile said. He shook his fist. Once again, he did not have a gift for his baby sister. How can I plant a tree that will grow strong? He asked his cousin. You must make a fence of cactus. And so Facile planted another seed, and this time he protected it with cactus. Dark clouds piled up on the mountains, and early rain came crashing down over the dusty mountaintop. Facile danced in the puddles. Lucia laughed, but when he went to check on his sister's tree, he could not believe his eyes. It was gone. There was only the cactus and the seed. Fasil asked his mama, how can I plant a tree that will grow strong? But mama was worried about baby Lucia. She was hot and hungry and didn't have time for his games. But she did say, plant a step for your tree. Fasil dug a flat step in the mountainside so the rain could not steal his seed. And again, Lucia's tree began to sprout. Fasil waited, but Mama and Lucia did not return. Then one day, the men in the village made scrub fires to clear the land for planting. The next day, Fasil saw ashes as he walked through the yard, and when he got to the step, he cried, oh no! Lucia's tiny tree had turned into a black, twisted stick. Fasil helped his uncle Tonton to clear the white stones away in their garden. He watched the path for Mama and Lucia, but they did not come. I cannot plant a tree that will grow strong. What should I do? Hope, Uncle Tonton said. You need hope to grow a tree. And so, Fasil had an idea. One after another, he piled up the stones from the garden, and when he was done, the wall was above his waist. He began to have hope. He climbed inside the wall and scraped a hole in the hard earth. One more time, he planted a seed for Lucia, and it began to sprout. One day, after many months, Fasil saw Mama come up the mountain. Lucia came too, and Papa. Fasil ran to meet them. What's this? Papa asked. It is a tikado, Fasil explained. What's a tikado? A special gift. A special gift for Lucia. A gift of hope, Uncle Tonton said. And Papa said, a strong tree will protect Timun, which means children. Inside its circle, Lucia's tree grew strong. It clung to the mountainside where the soil could not wash it away. It grew too big for the goats to eat, and it escaped the fires, clearing the land. Lucia grew strong too. She and Fasil played in the mango tree and ate the sweet, juicy mangoes. And slowly, one at a time, little circles of hope sprouted on the mountaintops of Haiti, and in each one was a tree. And so, my Timun, I want to thank you for your excellent listening, and I want to remind you that every tikado, which means special gift, no matter how small, can change the world. And I want to remind you, just to keep in your minds and hearts, the people of Haiti as they recover, and the strength and hope that it will take. So I want to invite you to go on to your classes, and we will send you on your way. Thank you so much.